approach it by faith, you know, in terms of this is a difficult situation and it is something that I need to overcome, but I have to overcome it first from my mind, in the sense that I have to be willing to prepare to accept the difference and for me myself to change and adapt to it. So of course, through, you know, my friends, through fellowship, I really was able to just, you know, overcome that initial resistance.
Welcome to The Immigrant Experience in America, an immigrant human library, where we amplify and humanize the experiences of immigrants in the United States and around the world. Listen in as we add another story to our immigrant human library.
We are happy to bring with you today another inspiring episode, and it's that of Jervian Johnson. She's joining us live right now, well, right? Live from
yes.
Jamaica, from the University of Technology in Kingston. Yeah. Welcome, Jervian. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here. And, you know, I really look forward to sharing my story with the rest of the world.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your background, life in Jamaica, and so forth.
Well, I actually grew up in very humble circumstances. I grew up with my family, my immediate family. So that's my mom, my dad, and my siblings. You know, so education was always something that I took seriously. And from a very young age, actually, my mom, she started training me in, you know, literacy skills and so on. And, you know, I actually saw education as a way of improving my financial circumstances and, you know, of course, you know, just my social level in society. And so I really took education seriously, went to Holy Childhood High School in Kingston, and then I moved on to the University of Technology, where I did a Bachelor's of Engineering in Chemical Engineering. And so that really formed the background of many things that I, you know, that has really shaped or influenced what I did. So that particular degree allows you to be able to really think critically and to be able to, you know, design processes, to design systems, to design products. And so I've always wanted to, you know, create something that can have an impact on the world. And, you know, my studies actually took me to South Korea, and that's where I really found something that I was so intrigued by. I really found it fascinating and something that I actually wanted to make use of here in Jamaica. So that's how Tropics 365, my company, was birthed by, well, of course, you know, for a business, we really want to make profit. But then apart from the profits, you know, just what the business stands for, what impact it will have on the world, you know, so my experiences really influenced the path that I chose, or what I chose to do as my business venture. So that's really a snapshot of my background and how it is related to, you know, many of the things that I'm actually doing right now.
Right, fast forward to today and why we're connecting. So I want to go back a little bit, though. I want to go back a little bit. So share with me a little bit about, you know, how you decided to study abroad and why South Korea, and what it was like being in school, what sort of international exposure you might have had, why Korea came to be even a thought that you would have.
Right.
Tell us a bit about that.
Right. Yes. Thank you so much. So as I mentioned, I did a Bachelor's of Engineering in Chemical and Process Engineering, and you know, that basically forms the foundation for my career. But there is just so much more to learn, you know, and many different areas to specialize in. And coming out of my bachelor's, I would have interacted and networked with professionals in the field. I had a mentor as well, or actually several mentors, you know, so they would have shared with me what is, you know, what are the trends and what area is critical, you know, to the future and so on. And one of my mentor actually, he encouraged me to go into the area of environmental engineering or environmental sustainability. And that's interestingly, that mentor is actually from the International Youth Fellowship, which is a youth organization. It's a Christian youth organization where, you know, it really looks at developing leaders. Not necessarily from a technical perspective, but more about, you know, how to understand how people's hearts flow and how to deal with an individual, you know, based on connection. So, you know, I would have met them based on, well, through a world camp. So that's one of the programs that they have. So I signed up as a volunteer, and they have a lot of volunteer programs. So I signed up as a volunteer, and, you know, they are an international organization. So it means that there is a lot of exposure. So you have different youths that come from different countries, such as South Korea, you have Peru, Argentina, Colombia, you know, a lot of different countries. So it gave me exposure to, you know, a whole different culture while I was here in Jamaica even. So I actually started to meet South Koreans by being in the IYF, right? So I started to interact with them, and, you know, they would share a lot. And, you know, there's a volunteer program in the IYF called the Good News Corps. So that's where you go overseas for 1 year, and you actually immerse in that culture, immerse in that country. And so those volunteers would also come to Jamaica. So you have persons coming to Jamaica for 1 year and immersing in our culture. So what you have happening is a cultural exchange. So I started to exchange culture with South Koreans while they were here in Jamaica, you know, because the truth is I didn't know much about the country before that, honestly. You know, we just know that they're Asian persons, and in Jamaica, sadly, we refer to every Asian as Chinese. But through the IYF, I was really able to come a little bit closer, not just stand off and look at them as, oh, they are different, you know, they're for a different nationality, but really understand where they're coming from, you know, their backgrounds and so on. So, you know, that really developed my interest in exploring the world. So, and of course, also, as I said, I had, you know, I network with professionals, I had mentors and so on, and I always think of, you know, furthering my education. So as I said, there's a lot to learn in this field of engineering. I later learned of a scholarship opportunity for South Korea. So I was interested in the country, I wanted to actually go there as a volunteer, but then I later learned of a scholarship opportunity. And, you know, having the mind to further my education, I thought it would have been a really good experience to do that and experience a different culture that I was already interested in, you know. So that was how I actually came across Koreans, interacted with them, and then decided, you know, that I would take the opportunity and actually study there.
And I can imagine people are wondering, tell us about the scholarship. What is the scholarship? Because people oftentimes overseas, and I can speak to the Jamaican experience, there are opportunities to study abroad, to work abroad, but people tend not to research or even are aware.
Exactly, are aware of it. That is so true. Yeah, that is so true.
Right? And then oftentimes make unfortunate decisions, like working with the black market or whatever market you call it, right? And going the illegal route. And so this is one such opportunity. So tell us yes. How, what's the name of it? How did you find all these details so others could perhaps go research it?
Sure.
Where you went, right?
Sure. So the name of the scholarship is the Korean Government Scholarship Program. So KGSP. So this is a scholarship program that is actually funded by the Korean government. And they offer the scholarship to, you know, a number of countries, like students from a number of countries across the world. So, you know, countries that Korea would have relationships with, diplomatic relationships with, they would offer students from those countries. And of course, they have a certain number of scholarships that they allocate to each country. So that is really pretty much it. So it's funded by the government, and it's the scholarship is really for master's and PhD students. So the particular scholarship that I went on, so you would have had to have a bachelor's degree already to apply for the program. And then so the master's program is 2 years plus 1 year for learning the language. So if you're interested in learning Korean, I know actually a lot of persons are interested in learning the language, especially persons who are exposed to K-drama or have some interest in Korean. So you know, that is a great opportunity for you to really immerse in the culture and also learn the language precisely, because sometimes, you know, you learn from the dramas or you learn on your own. But in while you're on this program, you actually go to a language school. So they have special schools that are dedicated to teaching Korean language, right? And you will stay there for 1 year and go through the different levels. So you, depending on if you know some amounts of Korean or not, that will determine the level that you start at, and then you progress each semester. So so how I found out about the scholarship. So if you are interested in Korean, maybe you will visit the Korean embassy's page from time to time, or, you know, so they will post about it. But at the time, as I said, I wasn't so familiar with the culture. I didn't know where to go to find information. So a lot of the information that I, so the scholarship in particular, that information, or the just the knowledge of it, I really actually found out through the International Youth Fellowship. So because they, you know, it's it was founded in South Korea, so you have a lot of South Korean influence. So they would be, you know, updated about what's happening and, you know, the opportunities that would be offered by the Korean government and so on. So I found out through the IYF.
Okay, yeah. Right. But people can find the application from the website. That's all on
right.
The website,
right. So they have a website that you can go on. And also, as I said, if you go to any Korean embassy's page, whether it's their website or their social media page, you'll be able to find information about this as well. And you can definitely go to the source. So you can search for Korean Government Scholarship Program. It's also called the Global Korea Scholarship. So whichever one you search for on Google, and that will lead you back to their websites, and that has all the information that you need to know.
Hey, that's what I was thinking too, because I hear people say people are not aware of this stuff, and I'm like, what stone are you living under? I'm sorry. I'm constantly researching, looking for information, so I just don't get it. But any case, there you have it, folks. Korean website, Korean embassy website, that's the of course South Korean embassy website, because mm-hmm. of the there's probably no relationship with the North Korean
no so. They're not,
and plus the youth organization that exposed Durbian to this opportunity is another place as well, or social media. Okay, so great. So you applied, you got accepted. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the application process and how, let you know, a few minutes about how that went and what is expected of people in the application process. And was it easy for you? Was there a lot of competition? How did you, were you so successful in getting the scholarship?
Okay, so in terms of the application process, normally the scholarship comes with an application package. So it will have the list of instructions as well as the application form. So for this particular scholarship, you actually download the application form, you fill it out, and then you submit all the supporting documents that are required. So, you know, you'll need a recommendation. Of course, you need your transcript, and there are some essays that you have to write. So you have to introduce yourself, of course, and you have to, there is something called a like a statement of purpose. So why? So, you know, one of the important things that people will look at is your why. You know, that will help them to find out, you know, why are you interested in actually going to Korea? Of all the places, why do you want to go to Korea, and how do you actually fit into what the objectives of this scholarship are? So you have to really think about that. And also another thing that they requested is your future plans. So you have to actually think from now, how can I use this degree when I'm finished with it? First of all, you have to understand, even though you will learn more about what you're doing when you actually start doing your degree, but you have to have some idea as to where it will take you, and you know, how do you apply it to your career as well as to the development of your society, you know, persons around you. So people always want to be able to see or to sense that you are about development and that you're about having a great reach and a great impact. So people want to sort of sponsor you and invest in you, because a scholarship is an investment. I mean, you don't pay for the tuition, but someone pays for the tuition, you know. So they want to, any scholarship body would want to make sure that they're giving the opportunities to persons that will make the full or the best use possible of the opportunity that they're getting. So, you know, you have to think about that when you're doing your application. And scholarships are always competitive, right? It doesn't matter what type of scholarship, because, you know, persons, there always will be persons who are seeking that opportunity. And, you know, you always want to put your best foot forward. So the Korean government scholarship program is no different. And so I would say, if you're interested, definitely put your A game forward. I always say put your best foot forward. And that is what I did, you know. So I would have really thought about the application and what I wanted to do, and lean back on what I did already. So you have to show evidence that you're someone that is capable of, you know, undertaking what you say you will do. And because it's a master's program, you know, evidence of research, or at least an interest in research, is also a plus. And well, especially for the science, the area of the field of science, which, you know, that's where I was, that's what I am in. So that definitely helped my application a lot. Yeah. So the process was actually, the process is actually really straightforward. And you will get the opportunity to do an interview as well. So, you know, you prepare for the interview, ensure that you know as much about the scholarship as possible, you know, how you present yourself. And, you know, my interview was great. So, and the professor, he seemed to really have liked my my application. And in the interview, he already said, I'm going to recommend you. So yes, it was really a pretty good experience. Very, not many issues at all. Very, very seamless. You know, that's one of the things about the Korean government scholarship program. Everything is just so clear, so seamless from the beginning of the application process until you reach Korea. They give you timely updates. They're actually very fast at it as well, because the scholarship, the entire process takes a couple of months. So from the application to when you arrive in Korea is just like about 4 months. You know, that's, I don't know of any other scholarship program being that short, or even university application program being, you know, that short. So it's very, very fast, and they communicate so well, even in terms of where you're going to be picked up, your airplane tickets, where you're going to stay. Everything is just so there. The information is given, you know. And when you reach Korea, all the processes that need to happen, so you getting your alien card. So that is, you know, as a foreigner, you need to have like an ID, and they call that your alien card, health insurance, getting a bank account, all of those processes are there. You know, the steps are there. They also allow you to get in touch with the students from the university. So there's this buddy program. So, you know, you will be assigned to, or at least be exposed to, other foreigners and Koreans who can show you around. And, you know, so because the social life is also very important, you feeling at home in the country, you're far away from your friends, your family. So having that support system is very important, and they provide that for you. So it was an amazing experience all around.
So they really took care of you. I'm
pleased. They did. They did. Yeah, they really did.
So you mentioned that the interview with the professor, was it at the Korean embassy in Kingston, or was this a virtual interview? How did this happen?
No, it was a virtual interview. I think at the time, because at that time it was like from 2014. So at that time, you know, we didn't have Zoom or, well, I don't know, probably it was there, but it wasn't so popular back then. So I think it was a telephone interview at the time. Yeah.
Wow,
so it wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't in person.
You were able. Yes. You impressed them over the phone, and it wasn't an in person.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. So you hear it straight from Jervian. That was her walk to getting the opportunity to study abroad. So then, walk us then, Jervian. Once you found out that you got the scholarship, they really took care of everything for you. Support. Everything was in place. And so tell us a bit about the experience leaving home and then, you know, studying abroad, and how was that for you?
Okay, so, you know, it was such, wow, it was like a dream come true, because as I said, I really wanted to experience the culture of Korea firsthand, but it was also filled with, you know, some sort of anxiety. You know, what to expect. You know, and it was just a lot of mixed feeling, because, you know, you're happy, but you're like, will it be okay? You know, I'm gonna be far away. It's kind of scary as well. It's very different, and you have to adjust to everything. So it was just a lot of emotions. But I remember leaving, and, you know, my friends and family sending me off, and it was, you know, it was bittersweet. I remember my mom crying. I was like, she will never see me again. But it was really bittersweet. But then, you know, when I reached there, I was impressed by a lot of things, you know, the structures, the efficiency of their service. I remember, you know, touching down in the Korean airport, and everything, as I said, it's just so organized. You know, the person's coming to pick us up, they had these placards so you could easily identify the persons. You know, it was really, really so seamless, and they took us to our dorms, and, you know, just everything was, I could feel that everything was prepared. That was the sort of feeling. So it gave us a sense of relief. You know, those who were scholarship participants, we really had a sense of release that we didn't have to think about what we were going to do or where we were going to find anything, you know. And even when we went there, they gave us a settlement grant, so just in case there were things that you couldn't bring, you had. And, you know, if even if you weren't able to bring a lot of money to Korea, at least you had that to just settle in for the first few days or so. So everything was pretty much seamless. But then now it's time to actually start going to school and living life. So that's where the challenges started, because first of all, food, right? So Korean food and Jamaican food are just totally different. Right? You know, right, east to west.
Two opposite ends,
right? Exactly. So just like the taste of the food at first is like, it was so difficult to adjust to. So they kind of have more of like a spicy kind of food. You know, like, for example, kimchi, that's their national dish, and kimchi served with everything. So it's kind of sour, spicy, you know, so like adjusting to that. And just like, just generally though, generally the types of foods that they consume would be different. So, you know, adjusting to that taste at first was difficult. And, you know, I remember I went to a restaurant and I ordered something. And I was like, oh my goodness. Because I'm a foodie, right? So I like to eat. And I just could not finish the food. So I could see, like, the shop owner, you know, the cook, because they sometimes how the restaurants are set up, you get to interact directly with the persons who prepare the food, right? That's just like the setting. So I could see that she was observing me and that she felt so disappointed. And I was like, I was so sad because it's not her, you know, it's just, I couldn't understand the flavors in this food. So there were experiences like that. And, you know, so I took some time to adjust to that as well as the language. So it's not like, okay, so they use characters and we use like, what do you call that? Letters, right? So alpha numerical symbols, right? So letters, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We use letters, they use characters. So, I mean, you know, you're in Jamaica and you're used to seeing signs being written in English, and now you're just seeing characters. Like, it was so daunting. Like, I did not know what to do.
Oh my gosh.
So, I was like, so those things kind of really, it just threw me off and felt like I was just so far behind. Like, I've never felt so far behind before, like just a fish out of water. Like, I can't, you know, if this sign is saying something is dangerous, I don't know what it is saying. So it was just like, oh my gosh. It was really shocking. Like, the culture shock was there at the beginning. But, you know, I am so happy that I not only had the support of the school and the scholarship team, but I was also, I also had the support of my international youth fellowship friends, because as I said, I met a lot of them before I even went to Korea, you know, so they would invite me to events, and it helps me to warm up. As well as I had the church there, so, you know, the youth organization also has a church associated with it, so I would also go to church, and so that helped a lot in being able to settle my mind, you know, to sort of just wrap my mind around the whole situation, and also to approach it by faith, you know, in terms of, this is a difficult situation and it is something that I need to overcome, but I have to overcome it first from my mind, in the sense that I have to be willing to prepare to accept the difference and for me myself to change and adapt to it. So, of course, through, you know, my friends, through fellowship, I really was able to just, you know, overcome that initial resistance or that initial period of just shock, you know, and change. So, you know, eventually I really warmed up and I really became so open to learning the language, because at first I felt like I was falling behind. But then, you know, I prayed, because like one of my church leaders, she was saying, you know, of course it's difficult, but if you pray, will God not help you? So I accepted that word, and it's almost like I was holding on to that promise, like, you know, Lord, you really have to help me. And, you know, I'm like, but if, Lord, if you allow me to like this language, then it will be easy for me to do it. You know, I'll enjoy actually doing it. And that was it for me. That was a turning point, like, you know, seeing the language from a different point of view. Actually starting to understand it, seeing that it's actually a really nice language, it's actually really fun. The experience in learning it was also fun, because we, you know, we were in the country, so we had the chance to practice. So for example, if we learn something in class, we could actually go out and repeat that and practice that. So the fun about it, you know, that really helped me to overcome the burden of really learning, you know, that language. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you went through the culture shock and disorientation that happens when you move away from home to this new place. And even more interesting and more complicated, the fact that it's a language that's not even familiar or anything close to the one where you're coming from. So I can just imagine the emotions, the growth, the...
Yeah. Lots of girls.
That's an achievement, though, Caribbean. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I saw your last interview with Irie, and that's where I actually came across you, watching her page when she did the interview with you, and you actually spoke so fluently in Korean. It was just so impressive. So congratulations. That's
Thank
amazing.
You.
You mean Thank you did a master's degree and learned the language from scratch.
Yeah.
That's a feat. Yes. That's a feat. That's you're to be applauded. It can be done, folks. Seriously.
It can be done, indeed. It can be done.
So I want to come back to just a little question I have here. I'm sure folks might be wondering, too. You mentioned that there were when you arrived in the airport. So there were multiple people who got the scholarship. It wasn't just
Oh, yeah. How many, oh, definitely.
How many did they select?
Definitely. And I don't know at that time the numbers, but I know on an annual basis it's like over 1,000 students from across the world. Yeah.
Oh, across the world.
Across the world.
Okay, and how many from Jamaica?
Well, you know, at the time, I believe it was, they took cohorts from the Caribbean, so it would be student selected, so the Caribbean would be like one region, and they selected maybe like two, I believe, at the time. But now they have divided it into the individual Caribbean countries, so now Jamaica has 3 students that can be selected for this scholarship.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that the fact that you went and you gave it your all and you were successful, that they were convinced that students coming from Jamaica had the potential,
right,
exactly, capacity to
exactly
learn the language, succeed in getting their master's degree, and actually flourish.
Yes,
right?
And interestingly, there was a program, it's called the GKS, that's a Global Career Scholarship Publicity Envoy. So there was this sort of like ambassadorship program that they had. And well, my tenure finished, was it last year? Yes, my tenure finished last year, but I was actually selected for that post, and it was about promoting the scholarship in Jamaica to increase awareness, because as you said, they realized that Jamaican students have the potential, you know, so, and I've seen that they've increased. So because before it was 1 student that they chose from Jamaica, now it's 3. So, you know, they have actually increased the opportunity for Jamaican. And, you know, I definitely know for sure that Publicity Envoy program contributed to it, because, you know, I had like a information session. I have information session. And of course, I shared it with, you know, persons who I know are interested in it. So I had information sessions, and that really had a very good reach. And, you know, persons who applied, I mean, I've been in interviews, and they said that it's because of this information session that they found out about the program. So, you know, it just goes to show that if people are aware of it, you know, they will definitely, you know, take up those opportunities. And it will, I mean, Jamaicans are talented, actually, you know, no doubt. So definitely they can go to Korea or anywhere else in the world, as a matter of fact, and apply themselves very well. So I was happy that I was in the position that I could actually you know, increase awareness and increase the number of offerings that are given to Jamaican students.
Yes, well done, very proud of you, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, very proud of you.
Join us again next time for part 2 of this episode.
Friends, as always, please subscribe, comment, and share if you enjoyed this interview. If you're passionate about telling immigrant stories, our team is looking for help. If you're willing to help with podcast production, social media, or Patreon management, please reach out to us.
You can also donate on our Patreon if it's easier for you. All the links are in the description below. Thank you.
We thank our listeners around the world, and we appreciate your continued support as we build our human library. Please remember to give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share with your friends, family, and circle of influence.